listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Welcome, friends, to CMDA Matters, where we explore the issues that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. Whether you're in healthcare, married or otherwise related to a healthcare professional, or you're simply interested in how God is working through Christ followers in patient care and beyond, we're glad you're here. Thank you to everyone who has given so generously during our fiscal year-end campaign. Your prayers, your service, and your support, they're fueling ministry across the country, and they're making a real difference in the lives of healthcare professionals and the patients that they serve. Your impact is deeply felt by our ministry leaders and teams on the front lines. As mail and gifts are still being processed, I'm looking forward to sharing a full update with you in the coming weeks. But for now, friends, please know how truly grateful that we are for your partnership and your faithfulness and your commitment to the mission of CMDA. This week, we're bringing you a truly special episode from our national convention in St. Louis. You know, if you've never experienced a CMDA national gathering, we hope that this gives you just a taste of the energy and the inspiration and the deep encouragement that happens when believers in healthcare, they come together. In today's episode, you're going to hear from Ambassador Sam Brownback. He's the former U.S. Senator, Governor of Kansas, and the Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. With heartfelt conviction and a healthy dose of humor, Ambassador Brownback takes us on a journey that starts with auctioneering school in the state of Kansas, and he ends up at 35,000 feet with a challenge for every believer to stand firm, to bring the kingdom of God into our little corner of the world, and to live out the truth in a culture that desperately needs it. So let's dive in.
I'm really a frustrated farmer. I wanted to be a farmer all my life, and my dad early on decided there just wasn't room for the actually, he and I had a one-sentence conversation. I came back after K-State, graduated with an agricultural degree. I'd been a state president of Future Farmers of America. I want to come home and farm. And I said, Dad, I'd like to come home and farm. I'd like to talk to you about it. And he said, not room. I'm kind of going, do you want a conversation about it? I mean, can we talk a little bit about this? No, not room. He had had an earlier plan for me. This is divergent, but it's kind of funny, I think. He had an earlier plan. He thought, you know, I don't know if the kid can make it as a farmer, but the boy can talk. So let's say he ought to be an auctioneer. And this is a true story. And so he sent me to auctioneering school. And I went to auctioneering school. And it was in Kansas City. It's a two-week course to become an auctioneer. So if you know any auctioneers, it's intensive two-week training to be an auctioneer. And I became an auctioneer, but that didn't work out either. If you'd like, actually, I think I could boil the whole thing down and I could teach you to be an auctioneer here tonight. It's actually a series of poems that they get people to say. So it's Betty, well, that's the long one. It's like Rubber Baby Buggy Bumpers, okay? You can say that one. Rubber Baby Buggy Bumpers. And then it's Tommy Atatimus took two T's and tied them atop of two tall trees. So I think you can do that one. Tommy Atatimus took two T's, tied them atop of two tall trees. And you start to get the flow. And then when you finally get to the point, then you go to Betty Botter. And it's Betty Botter bought some butter, but she said this butter's bitter. If I put it in my batter, it will make my batter bitter. So 'tis better Betty Botter bought a bit of better butter. All right, now you say that with me here. Let's just kind of And then you're supposed to rhyme it. You're supposed to go, Betty Botter bought some butter, but she said this butter is bitter. If I put it in my batter, it will make my batter bitter. So she bought a bit of better butter, put it in her bitter batter, made her bitter batter better. So it is better. Betty Botter bought a bit of better butter. Sold. You know, and you just kind of, that's, and that, but my auctioneering career never took off, so I didn't get too far. I did buy this last year a 4220 50 horsepower tractor as a 68-year-old man, and I'm ecstatic. And my wife's frustrated. And then of course you can't end with buying a tractor. You got to buy implements, right? So then I bought a tiller, and I'm telling her I got to get a mower, and I need a blade and a bucket on the front. And she's kind of, yeah, where's this going to end? You get toys, and anyway, if any of you wives are used to that, it's just kind of, it's a thing. You got to do it. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you stand for. I want to give you one quick accolade of how impactful you and many people in your organization have been. Your president was a Kenyan doctor for 20 years or something like that in Kenya. I was in the United Arab Emirates several years back meeting with the Crown Prince, and his opening line to me was about medical missionaries that saved people's lives in the United Arab Emirates when they didn't have any oil or any money. And they just moved into this area, and they were dying. And medical missionaries came in, started and saved lives and built a hospital. And that's part of their historical background for the United Arab Emirates, which is one of the most powerful Arab nations, with hugely wealthy now with oil money. But what they remember and what the leadership remembers is these medical missionaries coming in and saving lives when they didn't have anything and they were dying. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And I know a number of you, I mean, that may not be your field, you're maybe serving in poorer areas in the United States. And for me, as somebody in public life, in public policy, I've gone to many medical clinics that are in poorer areas, and thank you for that. Because, I mean, these are people that struggle, and we've got this kind of messed up medical system that has kind of both public and private, and it goes back and forth, and it overlaps, and it's complicated, and people get in the cracks here, and a lot of you take care of them. Thank you. And God doesn't forget that. You may not get paid a lot of money, but you're rich. You really are. And I was just, a friend of mine, I was praying with him before I came on today, and he was saying, say to him Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust. He will not overlook your work and the love that you showed for his sake in serving the saints as you still do. Thank you. That's just wonderful that what you're doing. I want to take your work and I want to take it to 35,000 foot view, and talk about it from that standpoint. And one, you're in St. Charles, Missouri. This next door, I'm in Kansas. This is Missouri is great, but I have a tie here that I'm so pleased with, and it's a place that maybe some of you can visit. Saint Philippine Duchesne is a canonized saint that came from originally from France, but did her work in St. Charles, Missouri. But actually, did her work near the farm I grew up on, taking care of the Potawatomi Indians in 1838, when they had been forcibly removed out of Indiana into Kansas in the Potawatomi Death March. And she came over and took care of them. She was 71 years old. She was very elderly. She came up a paddle boat up the Missouri River, down on a buckboard from Kansas City into this area called Sugar Valley, Kansas, which is near where I grew up. And she served the natives, but she was very elderly. She couldn't do much. She would just go in her hut and pray for the natives at night. And I have a drawing of her. She would go in her hut, and the natives, they loved her, and they would look in on her at night and see if she was praying, and they would see that, and then they'd put twigs and leaves on her habit and get up the next morning to see if she had moved. And the twigs and leaves would still be there. So they gave her a great big long Potawatomi name that meant lady who prays all the time. And they loved her. And she left feeling a great failure. And they loved what she did. And that's a tie that, so when I came here and I saw a statue, I thought, that's just a delight to be here. The 35,000 foot view. And I want to give you this big picture because I really hope it helps you look at what you're doing as critically important. We're in a civilizational moment. We're in a challenge to Western civilization moment. Now, you may think, I didn't come to CMDA to hear about Western civilization. And bear with me for just a couple minutes. We're in a civilizational moment. There are challenges to our Western civilization from within and from without that are taking place right now. We're in a new Cold War. Now, as I speak, we are in a Cold War with China, Russia, and Iran. And it's a hot war in places like Ukraine, the Middle East, and increasingly places like Burma, which you probably haven't heard of that piece of it. But it's increasingly, you're seeing more and more of that taking place. And some of you are my age, and you're going, wait a minute, we won the Cold War. It's over. That was when the Soviet Union fell, and that was one of the most strategic and powerful and successful fights and standoff in human history, where an empire of the Soviet Union that was communistic, atheistic, was holding down a whole group of people, broke up peacefully and made 19 countries come out of that. It was an amazing, successful thing. It cost a lot of money. And we're back in this war again. And you're seeing it take shape. And within, we're in a struggle. Because we no longer know if we believe what our civilization is built upon. Every civilization is built on a religion. Whether it's Confucianism, Hinduism, Islam, whatever, the civilization is built on a set of foundational ethics and beliefs that most all of which come from a natural law source and then spring up through a religion and then build a civilization on top of it. And the United States is the leading country of Western civilization today. We're the leader of it, but we didn't start it. It's built on Judeo-Christian ethics. It came through the Roman Empire. It came through the Holy Roman Empire. It came through the English and the French, handed it off to us, and we're the lead country of Western civilization today. And it's built on this Judeo-Christian, and it has been the most helpful, successful civilization in the history of mankind. Out of Western civilization, and this belief that every person, whoever they are, whatever they are created in the divine image of God. They are divinely loved, they are beautiful, they are unique, and never to be recreated image of the created Creator God. That's everybody, and that's Western civilization. And I just knocked the water off. That's what Western civilization is built on, this basic ethic. Prior civilizations weren't based on that. And there was a lot of carnage, and there was a lot of difficulty. And what did we bring out? We brought human rights together out of that. We brought the dignity of the individual together out of that. We brought medicine to people that hadn't had it. We went to places and helped people and didn't ask anything in return. Now, I'm not saying we are perfect, because we're not by any means, way, shape, or form. And we've done lots of wrong things. I mentioned the Native Americans. We had the Indian Removal Act, which was a horrific period of time of things. We have done wrong things. I carried the apology for the Native American things that we did in that period of time. But by and large, this civilization has really benefited and helped the world. But now we're at this civilizational moment where we don't know if what we believe is actually true or not anymore. We've lost our confidence in whether or not what we believe is true. Does God really exist? Does he have an idea how we ought to live? Was he a great watchmaker and he started everything and he doesn't pay attention anymore? Do we kind of believe in kind of a transcendentalism that everybody just discovers their own truth and lives by that? And that truth can change too. We're in this crisis of confidence, whether or not we believe what we actually believe is true or not. And that's where you come in. You're on the front lines of this fight as to whether or not we continue with the civilization we have. Because when you come at one of these civilizational moments, you got three ways you can go. One is you can say, no, we do believe it, it is true, and we're going to renew our connection to that fundamental set of truths. Or you can say, well, we got to find something different here. Maybe it's Islam. Maybe it's Hindu it. Maybe it's transcendental. Maybe it's something. We got to find something else to build the society on. Or you just go into this period of long-term decline and you just say, you know, it was great while it lasted. It's like a European cathedral that you look at and it's a monument. It was built in the 1600s. It's glorious. And there's nobody going to church there. As you can see, at one point in time, this was a great civilization. And now, let's just have a second glass of wine. What do you do? That's where you come in, because civilizations are renewed one person at a time. You're the renewing factor. You're on the front line of the civilization. The medical community delivers the hope. You are the ambassadors for Christ. You are his hands and feet. You are out there on a daily basis carrying this civilizational notion that, yes, you who I serve are created in the image of a beautiful, loving God. You're the one that's out there carrying this on. You bring the kingdom of God into the little space that you're in. I had a lawyer friend of mine describe that. He said, you know, he was a committed man of faith, which you may not think lawyers can be committed people of faith, but they're there. They live. They exist. I'm one of them. I'm a recovering lawyer, but I mean, it's... But his idea was, his profession was just simply really to bring the kingdom of God to his little space. And that's what you guys do as medical professionals. You bring the kingdom of God to your little area of space, and you deliver it there. And as you do, you bring hope to the people that are around you that here is a loving, caring person. And you've stood up and you've said, I believe in Jesus. I'm part of the Christian Medical Association. That in itself is actually a bold statement that you would actually say, hold up your hand, I believe in Jesus. In this society, in today's day and age, and you're going to hear from a speaker from Finland who I've worked with, who was persecuted for simply posting Bible verses online. Bible verses, and she was prosecuted for hate crimes. This is Western civilization today. Much of Western civilization now, or Western, I should say Western countries, not Western civilization, is in this suffocating mood towards religions of all types and Christianity in particular. We just want to suffocate it. Other countries, and I work a lot on international religious freedom, they'll throw you in jail, you disappear, people get killed, lots of bad things happen. And this, in Western civil societies, it's suffocation. We formed this National Council for Religious Freedom. We got debanked within 40 days of forming this. I've seen crisis pregnancy centers that can't get insurance or their insurance gets canceled for directors and officers because we really don't, and they won't say ever why, but it really is kind of like, you know, we just don't want to be associated with you. I've got people that have been deplatformed. They get kicked off of platforms. I get community foundations that won't fund certain groups that are affiliated with religious groups, kind of parachurch groups. That's what happens in Western countries. That's what happens in the United States. And that's what's happening increasingly. But you stand as a witness against that. You hold your hand up and say, no, I believe in Jesus. And that's critical and that's important that you do that. And that is a witness to a different way, a different society. It is a witness of what the Western civilization is built on. It's this Judeo-Christian ethic. And you're living it. And when you live it, it then gives witness to it. And if you don't live it, we become, and the United States becomes another museum. We become cut flowers, where you can see what they used to look like. It was beautiful. I can see there's a beautiful flower, but it's wilting. And how many of you look around our country today and you wonder, we're wilting. We no longer are connected to the vitality that gave us life in the first place. We're not the vine, we're not the branch that's hooked to the vine. We're just a cut-off branch. It was beautiful. It's drooping. You stand up as a witness. And what a trade. Let me tell you what God gives you in this trade. When you stand up and you say, I follow Jesus, you know what Jesus does? He tells the angels about you. I think this is a fabulous trade, by the way. So I will always say, I follow Jesus because he says, Jesus says, I say to you, whoever declares openly and confesses me before men, the Son of Man also will declare openly and confess him before the angels of God. Now, I think about this trade, okay, for just a minute here. So I say to you guys, I believe in Jesus. Jesus goes to heaven and tells the angels, I believe in Sam. That's a cool trade. That is good money in the bank. I mean, I really like that one. Anyway, but then practicality sits in, and I start thinking about, oh, wait a minute. I'm going to get in trouble if I do this. And maybe some of you have had this debate in your own mind. When you stand up and you hold your hand, you say, I'm a Christian, you're kind of going, this may not play well here. Or I don't even have to say that, but I just have to stand up for these basic Christian values. And then the board of directors at the hospital, somebody complains. Or maybe one of the providers, insurance providers say, hey, we've got this concern. As governor, I was concerned that, you know, at one point in time I was thinking, you know, Lord, if I stand up for life, I'm going to get a bad article in the Topeka Capital Journal. And then I thought, you know, when I die, and we're all going to die, and when I am standing in front of God and he's judging me for what I did with the positions that I had, and I'm standing in front of God and I'm saying to him, you know, God, I didn't do it because I was afraid I was going to have a bad article in the Topeka Capital Journal. I just don't think that's going to ring very true. I don't think he's going to buy it. And I stand here and I laugh at it because I don't think I buy it. But I was scared. And I was. And I did get a bad article. I signed 17 pro-life bills while I was governor. We had 19,000 fewer abortions in the state of Kansas in that 7 years. And I was the least popular governor in America at one point in time. And it hurt. It still hurts. I love my state. I love my people. And this? And you're going to get that too. And Jesus told us we were going to get that. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. He said, I remember bringing my press secretary in one day, and we were kind of going on and on about how do we turn this thing around. And he said, well, what do you want? And she said, what do you want? And I said, finally, I said, well, I just want them not to hate me. And then I realized as I said it, Jesus said, they're going to hate you. He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. I can't even ask for that. Or I could, but it isn't going to happen. And that's why I'm so proud of you, that you're standing up in that, because this culture has to have people stand up. We are standing for the truth. I remember one day, I'm still wrestling with this. I'm the governor of Kansas. I'm walking at night out in front of the governor's residence, complaining to God, just saying, why don't you make this easier? Why can't this be better? You know, why am I having to go through this? And then finally, I just come to the point where I just say, you know, am I just a dinosaur? Am I the only one that actually believes this anymore? I want to ask you guys, how many of you felt like you're just a dinosaur? Am I the only one that actually believes this anymore? I literally said that. Am I just a dinosaur? And the thought that entered my mind was, is truth a dinosaur? I said, no. Then you're not a dinosaur. And that's it. But it takes boldness. It takes courage. It takes willingness to take the hits. It takes dying to self. It takes all of those things to do what you're doing in the front line of keeping and preserving Western civilization. And I beg you to keep doing it and boldly do it and know that the reward in heaven is great, but it's also great here because you can look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and say, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's the right thing to do. And it's hard. And it's going to be hard. It's not as hard for us as it is for Christians in other countries. Other countries on Easter, this is a deadly time. A lot of people get killed as Christians. This is the most persecuted time for Christianity in any time in human history is right now. And I can take you to place after place. I'm writing a book right now on China's war on faith. They're going at all faiths, and particularly Christianity, to wipe it, because it's an existential threat to them. People are watching you. I'm glad you're standing up and fighting. And I just would say it as I conclude, I want a couple of thoughts here. Don't fight like a man. Fight like a believer. Big difference. This is David versus Goliath. You fight like a man and you're fighting Goliath, you got to put all the medals and stuff on, and you also got to be a lot bigger than you are, frankly. You fight like a believer, God, you put me here. Carry me. What do you want me to do? The mentality's got to be, we can't fight like men or we will be defeated. You got to fight like a believer. You're in the fight for Western civilization. You're on the front line because Western civilization is built on the values that you believe in, and not that many people live them anymore in this country, unfortunately. I am really sad to say that, but it's true. But God doesn't want a majority. All he wants is a faithful remnant, and we'll whip them all, and you're going to whip them all. I feel sorry for him, actually, some days. That's when I'm not feeling sad for myself. I feel sorry for... And it's a critical fight that you're in, and you're in the most powerful nation on earth, and you're in a place that you can actually do that, and he doesn't need a majority. And matter of fact, you remember the stories where he would get the armies down to 30 people because he wanted to make sure you knew who actually won the fight. It was him, not you. Let me in on this. I was in Austin, Texas. I've got a daughter there. And I was off in the morning at a coffee shop, and I was getting some coffee and I was walking back to her house, and it was mid-morning, and it was one of these big thunderhead storms rolling in. And I don't know if how many of you are in from the Midwest or from Texas or anything like that, but yeah, I grew up on a farm. I know what that is. This is a big storm. The street lights were coming on. It was so thick, the clouds were. And I'm carrying my coffee back to the house. I'm thinking, I better hurry up because I'm going to get soaked here. And it's just, I mean, the wind is blowing and the clouds are rolling and everything. And then all of a sudden I just stopped. And some sense to stop. And I looked over on one of the street lights that was coming on, and there was a bird sitting on top of the street light. And it was just singing his heart out. And there's a storm rolling, coming in the background, and you know, lights are on and everything. And the bird's just singing his heart out. And I thought, that's the metaphor for what we are in right now. We all can see the storm. It's a big one. You can see the factors lining up overseas and internally and within. This is a big storm. You can see this thing here, and you can get really worried about the storm. And what should be our response? Sing. Keep singing. You are really important. I love you guys, and keep the job up, because you're going to save Western civilization. You'll do it. You've done it before. God bless you all.
What an incredible message. As Ambassador Brownback reminded us, we are standing at the front lines of a much larger spiritual and cultural fight. And in the midst of it, friends, we're not just physicians or dentists, healthcare professionals. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're bringing his hope and light to a world that is wrestling with truth. So keep showing up. Keep living boldly and faithfully in your calling from God. If this episode encouraged you, like you to take a moment to share it with a friend or a colleague or someone even in your church who's connected to healthcare. It's a simple way to help us grow and keep sharing conversations that really matter. Be sure to follow the podcast on social media to stay connected, encouraged, and up to date. And to learn more about how CMDA is equipping healthcare professionals for such a time as this, just visit our main webpage by going to cmda.org. If you've never experienced a CMDA convention or one of our retreats, we'd love for you to make this fall the time that you get to join us. There are two incredible opportunities coming up, one for our Midwesterners and one for our Northeasterners. First, for those in the Midwest, don't miss the Midwest Fall Conference. It's a long-standing favorite in our CMDA community. It's now celebrating its 35th year, and it's happening September 26th through the 28th at beautiful Maranatha Retreat Center on the shores of Lake Michigan. This weekend, we'll offer you thoughtful teaching, meaningful fellowship, worship, and rest with speakers like Dr. Farr Kerlin from Duke, Dr. Stephen Coe from New York City, and a special panel featuring our friend from Grove City College, Dr. Carl Truman. You can earn up to 6 CME credits, and there's a full children's program for kids who are 12 and under. That'll make it a great experience for individuals or for your whole family. Whether you come for the sessions or just for the quiet moments on the beach, we hope you'll leave refreshed. Then for those in the Northeast, we invite you to join us for the Northeast Regional Retreat that's happening October 24th through the 26th, 2025, and that's at Sandy Cove Ministries in Northeast Maryland. This year's theme is Faith Embodied, led by Dr. Stephen Coe, who's a pediatrician and a preventive medicine physician at Massachusetts General Brigham Hospital in Boston, who's been our guest several times on this podcast. It's a meaningful time to explore both physical and spiritual health alongside other Christian healthcare professionals and students. Continuing education credits are available, and there's a $25 early bird discount through August the 1st. First-time attendees to this conference can also find an additional discount code on the event page. You can learn more about both events and register by going to cmda.org/events. As I mentioned last week, for the month of July, we're excited to feature an amazing lineup of plenary speakers from our national convention that was in St. Charles, Missouri, back in the beginning of May. If you attended and want to revisit these impactful messages, well, now's your chance. And if you missed NatCon, then consider this your front row seat, so to speak, to hear a few of the compelling voices who inspired us. Next week, we're joined by Aaron Morrow Hawley, who's senior counsel at Alliance Defending Freedom and a leading voice in constitutional law. You don't want to miss it. I want to thank you for listening to CMDA Matters, where our mission remains the same. We are bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world through committed Christ followers in healthcare. That's what matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. May you recognize this week that the Lord, He is with you, and that He is for you, friends, to do His good work. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time, Lord willing, on CMDA Matters.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.